بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين وحبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها، فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. This ayah number 42 of Surah Az-Zumar ties really well with our discussion for the past few nights about this nafs of the human being. We said that this nafs, mu'mineen and mu'minat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it, and He has revealed to it two paths: the path of guidance, the path of taqwa, the path of self-purification, and He has also put into it the ability that it should use to nurture itself, to guide itself, to help itself to purify itself and get closer to Allah. But sometimes it abuses this ability, and then it contaminates itself and it degrades itself further and further. So for example, we said that this nafs is a connection between the ruh, which is the spirit of the human body, of the human being, and between the desires, which is really the body, the physical body of the human being. So the human being has this physical form, this physical body. This physical body has needs. This physical body needs to eat. It needs to drink. It needs to have certain pleasures. Has certain desires. These desires are necessary for it to keep itself alive. If the body doesn't eat, if someone doesn't eat, he'll die. Doesn't drink, he'll die. And so on and so forth. So these tools and these desires are put in the insan and the human being for a reason. So this body needs them. And then you have the soul. The soul is the opposite. The body, the physical form of the body of the human being, grows by taking in food, by taking in, for example, liquids, fluids. That's how it grows and nurtures itself. The human soul is the other. The more the way it gives, it grows bigger and bigger. So they're opposite to one another. And the nafs is in between those two things. It's in between the ruh and between the body. The body wants to drag it to this dunya, and the ruh wants it to ascend up to the akhirah. And this nafs is in between. It depends on who the human being, or what the human being does to it, how it guides it, it will go. If the human being controls his body and his desires, then he keeps his nafs under control, and hence it can ascend now towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ascend the path of spirituality. It goes up. That's if it controls itself. If, however, the person turns off the aql, the mind, which is really the driving power, this aql, the mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the human being, can distinguish between haqq and batil. The aql that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped the human being, this mind, with, can distinguish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave every human being this ability, and hence, if a person does not have a mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold him accountable on the day of judgment. Because he doesn't have that ability to distinguish what is haqq and what is batil, what is right and what is wrong. So the aql is mandated, it's mandatory. And hence Allah gave us this mind, then He expects us to use it. He expects us to follow what is haqq and to recognize what is batil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on the human being, if the human being puts an effort in finding Allah, Allah will guide him towards Him. But if he doesn't put the effort, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also doesn't help him as much. The human being has to take the initiative. He has to put in the effort. He has to work hard. I met a mu'mina who was not Muslima. She said she became Muslima at the age of 14. And now today she became a muballigha, alhamdulillah. She does tabligh. And she did not... she was not raised in an Islamic environment, in a non-Muslim environment. It's in North America, here. I also met another mu'min who became a Muslim at the age of 14. Again, I asked him, I told him by the age of 14, people are not thinking about religion and Islam and things. He said, I was a Christian man. The concept of Trinity did not make sense for me. That Allah is three, this concept did not make sense. So then, one day, and this was in the late 80s, when there was no internet, things were not so accessible. He said, one day I met with some friends of mine in school who told me that they were Muslims. So I asked them, what is this Islam? Can you tell me about it? He said, when they told me that, you know, we have to believe in one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, there is no other God besides Him. He said, this concept of Tawheed sat in my heart, my mind accepted it, and I accepted Islam. 2 years later, I still was researching until I found the concept of Imamah. And so I became a Shia at the age of 16. And today, mashallah, he's a Muballigh as well. He went and studied Islamic religion, and now today, mashallah, he does tabligh as well. Allah holds people accountable on the day of judgment. He says, look, this man becomes a hujjah, he becomes a proof. Allah will gather the people on the day of judgment. He says, people, look, what excuse do you have not believing me and not following me? First, he comes to us Muslims. He says, you Muslims, you believed in the Prophet. You believed in the Quran. So why don't you wear the hijab? Why? What's your excuse? Here is a lady who was not a Muslima. She grew up in a non-Islamic environment. At the age of 14, she became a Muslima. She put on her hijab and now she's a Muballigha. What's your excuse? That's a hujjah of Allah for us. He'll come to the young man, why didn't you also study religion, learn what is halal, what is haram, so that you know what to do when you are doing business, know what is halal and what is haram. What's your excuse? Here is this man who was not Muslim, did not grow up in an Islamic environment, he found haqq, the truth, and he invested some time, and he became a muballigh, and he knows what is halal and what is haram. What's your excuse? So these are hujjah, these are proofs for us on the day of judgment. And that is the aql of the human being. So when a person puts his aql into play, then that aql, even if he's in an environment that's not Islamic environment, it will guide him towards haqq when he puts in the effort. And that is the path and the process of tazkiyatun nafs, self-purification. When the aql gets in charge and tries to take this nafs towards the path of the ruh, in a sense. And when the aql is turned off, then you might have a person who even is a Nobel laureate, yet he says there is no Allah, there is no God. When in fact it is such a clear sign. This ayah is also a beautiful ayah. It's a clear sign. It connects, it shows us the link between this ruh and the nafs and the body. And what is, or what happens to it, especially at the time of sleep. That's something interesting. When a person goes to sleep, what happens? All of a sudden, when he goes to sleep, he starts slowly losing the feelings. You know, sometimes, you know, it depends how deep of a sleep. Some people, mashallah, even if a train comes next to them, or the fire alarm shouts in, nothing, mashallah, they sleep and nothing wakes them up. Yeah, some people are light sleepers, some are deep sleepers. So at first the person starts to snooze, but yet he could still hear. But then he will go into a state of sleep, then when he can't even hear anymore, he cannot hear. Khalas, he goes into that deep sleep. So what happens? What happened there between that period when he was awake and he could hear and that period when he stopped hearing now all of a sudden? What happened there? It's quite interesting. You look at that person, however, his heart is still beating, you know, his chest is still going up and down, inshallah, yani. Yeah. So it's still going up and down. He's still breathing. But then you talk to him, you call that person Zayd, Amr, he doesn't respond. You know, unless, for example, you shake him, you shout, then he responds. So what is happening here? So that's interesting here. What is going on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, ayah number 42 of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the nafs at the time of its death. Okay, so what nafs is this? We'll come to that, inshallah. Let's continue with the ayah. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And the one, the nafs, that did not die, Allah also takes it at the time of its sleep. Okay, so apparently there is a nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes at the time of death, and the one that does not die at the time of the sleep, Allah takes that nafs. And then what happens? Allah here continues. Allah says, فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. The one that Allah prescribed death upon it, when he takes it, خلاص, he keeps it. That one he keeps. What happens to the other nafs? The one that is in the sleep. What happens to it? وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And that one he sends back until the given time, or a given time. So here we see there is two different nafs apparently. One nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, and that is at the time of death. And that nafs doesn't come back. خلاص, it's gone. And then there is a nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes at the time of sleep, and that nafs goes back by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the difference between those two nafs here? According to Allama al-Tabrasi, in his tafsir, he quotes a hadith from Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas says the following. He says, "Fi bani Adam nafsun wa ruh." He says, in the son of Adam there is a nafs and there is a ruh. Okay, so there is a nafs and there is the spirit, the soul. وَبَيْنَهُمَا مِثْلُ شُعَاعِ الشَّمْسِ. And between them is like the rays of the sun. The sun is in the skies, right? The ray reaches the earth. That connection that's connecting the sun with the earth is an analogy, a metaphor of the connection connecting between the nafs, the self, and the ruh. So they're connected somehow. And then what happens? فَالنَّفْسُ الَّتِي بِهَا الْعَقْلُ وَالتَّمْيِيزِ He says, the nafs is the one that is capable of understanding and having the mind. The nafs, the one that has the aql and the mind and can recognize what is right and what is wrong. And hence, when a person sleeps, his nafs cannot now recognize what is right and what is wrong, and so it goes to sleep, his aql is gone. And hence, our fuqaha say, once a person sleeps, if he can still hear, and he had the state of wudu, if a person does wudu and sleeps, or for example, snoozes, if he can still hear, you know, sometimes when you close your eyes, like some people are right now, you know, close their eyes, they can still hear. So at that state, your wudu is not batil yet. But the minute you start losing that sense of hearing, you lose that sense of hearing. Khalas. That's when the wudu becomes batil, and you have to go renew your wudu. You find some people, interestingly, in Masjid al-Haram and in Masjid al-Nabi, those of you who have gone to Hajj, inshallah, Allah gives you opportunity to go again. And those of you who haven't, inshallah, Allah will give us an opportunity to go all together, inshallah, again and again. Some people come in Masjid al-Nabi, because it gets so busy, they want to take, for example, a good seat. They come, and then they start sleeping and snoring, mashallah. And the minute then the adhan says, they get up, Allahu Akbar. No, wudu is batil, but you know, if he leaves to go do his wudu and come back, his seat is gone. But, I mean, that's unfortunately the ignorance. That's why it is important to understand religion, what is halal, what is haram, what is right, what is wrong. Because unfortunately this mu'min who's come all the way, crossed all these miles, and paid all these dollars to come and give his do his hajj, perform his hajj, and he wants to pray in Masjid al-Nabi because it has so much reward, so much thawab praying in Masjid al-Nabi. Yet he loses all that thawab because he doesn't know that when he leaves, his wudu is batil. Subhanallah, yani, too bad. That's why it's wajib, it's mandatory upon us to learn the basics. We're held accountable for it, for these things. The wudu has to be right, the ghusl has to be right, and so on and so forth. These ahkam, we have to know them. We're held responsible for them on the Day of Judgment. Nonetheless, so, when that person sleeps, that aql then, that nafs of his, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away, is gone, and hence his aql is overtaken by the sleep. It's overtaken. Okay, so he says that there every Bani Adam has a nafs, and وَالْرُوحُ الَّتِي بِهَا النَّفَسُ وَالتَّحَرُّكُ So the nafs, the self, it has the power, the mind, which can distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. It can tell what is good and what is bad. That is all in the aql, which is found in the nafs. And then the ruh. The ruh controls what? It controls the breath, according to Ibn Abbas, and the movement. The movement and the breath, which means the life. That's why when a person sleeps, you still find his breath is still going up and down. He still moves, for example. That is why, because the ruh is still in the body. But the nafs, sometimes it starts going, roaming around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that nafs. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Abbas continues, فَإِذَا نَامُ When the son of Adam sleeps, قَبَضَ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ Allah takes his nafs, his self, وَلَمْ يَقْبُضْ رُوحَهُ But he does not take his, what? Ruh. His soul still remains. And Allama al-Tabrasi says, this is also affirmed by the hadith of Imam al-Baqir salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Where Imam al-Baqir says, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ ينام. Not a single person who goes to sleep, إِلَّا عَرَجَتْ نَفْسُهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ But his nafs ascends to the skies. The nafs starts roaming, starts ascending. وَبَقِيَتْ رُوحُهُ فِي بَدَنِهِ But his ruh is where? In the body, exactly. The self has gone, but the ruh is in the body. This tells us that there are three different entities. We have the body, that's one, right? And then we have the nafs, which at the time of sleep leaves. And then we have the ruh, which is still in the body. And at the time of death, that also leaves as well. Both the nafs leaves and the ruh also leaves at the time of death. Okay? So then he says, anyone who goes to sleep, his nafs ascends in the skies. وَبَقِيَتْ رُوحُهُ فِي بَدَنِهِ But his ruh stays in his body. وَصَارَ بَيْنَهُمَا سَبَبٌ كَشُعَاءِ الشَّمْسِ There is a connection between them, just like the connection between the sun and its rays. Again, similar analogy so that we understand. Of course, brothers and sisters, our imams try to make things simple for us. Otherwise, this thing is much more complicated than what we can perceive and understand. As I mentioned a few nights ago, this topic of nafs and ruh is really complicated. But whatever knowledge we can get with our humble, limited mind. Even Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, has a hadith which is really complicated. You know, it takes what, probably maybe a week to go over it. That's why we did not address it. Where he says there is four types of nafs itself. And I'm not talking about the nafs that we talk about, the three types. You know, the ammarati bisu and the one that is, for example, al-mutma'inna and al-lawwama. No, no. He classifies other types of nafs. Where he says, for example, the plants. The plants have a nafs, but they don't have feelings. Right? They're alive, but they don't have feelings. Right? If you take a plant, it won't say, ouch. You know? And then there is the animal, which has a different type of nafs. The animal now has feelings. It's also alive. So he classifies, subhanAllah, such an interesting hadith, which tells you how complicated this nafs is. So we won't get into that complication, you know? Because we want to get something at the end of these 10 nights, inshallah, tomorrow, where we will wrap up this discussion, and then we'll continue briefly with a few topics in the later nights, inshallah. But what we want to get is what we will get to tomorrow night, inshallah, is really how can we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the bottom line. That is the bottom line. We live in this dunya. We're living in this dunya. And we are working and we are going at about our actions. And sometimes this thing overtakes us. That's when we, inshallah, at the end of these 10 days, if one day we are so busy in work, working, I hope, inshallah, we remember these 10 nights. We say, you know what? This nafs of mine is asking me to work night and day. What have I done to my akhirah? How many days have I skipped masjid? I haven't gone to mosque. How many days has it been that I have not prayed my salat on time? How many days has it been that I have not gone to Jum'ah? You know, let me hold on a little bit. You know, let me prepare for... This is really what we want to get to. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll wrap up with this, inshallah. So here, Imam Salamullah alayhi says the connection between that nafs and the ruh is like the sun and the rays of the sun that reaches the earth. So we have the body. The body has a nafs and has a ruh. At the time of sleep, which one stays in the body? The ruh stays. And hence the person is alive, still alive. What leaves the body? The nafs. The nafs leaves the body. And hence he loses his senses. He loses his senses. And that's what Imam is saying. And then he says, فَإِنْ أَذِنَ اللَّهِ فِي قَبْضِ الْأَرْوَاحِ He says, if Allah gives permission to take the soul away, then what happens? The nafs is already outside the body. What joins the nafs? The ruh then ascends and leaves the body. And that's why you have some people sleeping and they never wake up. A few years ago, but in Vancouver, there was a mu'min. They told me he was sitting with a group of mu'mineen. And he was, you know, they were all sitting down together, drinking chai together. And then he told them, Yalla, ma'a salama, khuda hafiz. They told me he left, he forgot something, he came back. So then he said, yeah, I forgot this thing. Then he told them, this time, really goodbye. Subhanallah, as if he meant it. He went back home, he slept on the couch and never woke up. Subhanallah. This is the human being. So this, what happened in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission for Malakul Maut to take that nafs. to take this nafs. So it never went back. The ruh also was taken. So not only the nafs was gone, the ruh was also gone. And hence only the body was left. However, he continues, that's one scenario when Allah gives permission for the ruh to also leave the body. What else? He says, وَإِنْ أَذِنَ اللَّهِ فِي رَدِّ الرُّوحِ. He says, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the angels the permission to keep the ruh in the body, tells them not yet, wait. Then what comes back to the body? The nafs. And when the nafs comes back to the body, then the person wakes up again. He comes back. And he says, this is, Imam continues, he says, and this is the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes the nafs at the time of its death. So, here there is an interesting point that I just want to raise. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He takes the nafs. Sometimes He says Malak al-Maut is the one who takes the nafs. Sometimes He says, no, the angels are the ones who take the nafs. So what happens here? Which is right? Allah or the Malak al-Maut or the angels? What is going on here? In Kitab al-Tawheed by Shaykh al-Saduq, our Imams explain this. They say it's all the same thing. Why? Because ultimately who gives the command? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the command. And hence, Allah attributes the action to Himself. Because He is the one who is giving the command. He gives the command to Malak al-Maut. So sometimes Malak al-Maut, He Himself goes and takes the soul away. Or sometimes Malak al-Maut sends His aids, and he tells them, you go take the ruh away. Malakul Maut usually comes to take the life of the mu'mineen, the muttaqeen. Usually, for example, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam came to him Malakul Maut, and he told him, it is time for you, ya Ibrahim, ya Khalil Allah, it is time for you to meet your Lord. So then Ibrahim salamullahi alayhi turned to Allah. He said to Malakul Maut, he said, go tell Allah, I am Khalilullah, which is the friend of Allah. He said, is there a friend who takes the life of his friend? A Khalilun ya'khudhu ruha Khalilih. So Malakul Maut ascended to Allah. He said, ya Allah, this is what Ibrahim is saying. You know, would a friend take the life of a friend? He said, go back to him and tell him, is there a friend who does not long to meet his friend? So he came back, he said, then take my soul away. And he took his soul away. Subhanallah. Even the prophets, Allahu Akbar, this time of death is not an easy time when that soul leaves the body. Even the prophets, huh? For them it is a difficult time. Not an easy time. Even the prophets. It is said Musa alayhi salam. Musa is one of Ulul Azm. What an honorable prophet he was. What a great prophet he was. The Quran mentions him the most in the Holy Quran. Yet it is said at the time of his death, when it came, Malakul Maut came to him and he said, ya Musa, it is time. He said, give me some more minutes, few moments, you know, let me. I don't feel ready yet. So Malakul Maut said, ya Allah, what shall I do? Allah told him, leave him until he decides, he chooses. He chooses, then we take his soul away. He walked, he saw a person digging a grave. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm digging a grave. He said, can I help you? He said, come. He helped him, digging the grave. Then when he saw the grave, he said, let me see, what does it feel like when somebody lies in the grave? Because Malakul Maut had just met him, you know. So, he just had an encounter, man. So, he said, let's see, you know. It seems our days are short in this dunya. So, let's see, what does it feel like? He lied down on the grave. When he lied down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uncovered the paradise for him. He started seeing where his state in paradise is. His status in paradise. So when he saw his rank in paradise, while he was lying in the grave, he said, ya Allah, take my soul. Take my soul. Khalas. If that's where I am, what do I need dunya for? He said, take my soul. At that moment, Malakul Maut took his soul. It was Malakul Maut who was actually digging the grave. And Musa dug his own grave. He lied down. Then Malakul Maut took his life and buried him. And then he put the sand on him. This is the human being, brothers and sisters. This is the human being. So here, this hadith and these ayat of the Holy Quran tell us that indeed this body of the human being is not forever. It doesn't last forever. It's not going to last for eternity. The body, what's keeping it going and breathing and moving, is what? The ruh, the soul. The soul. It's inside the body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also equipped this body with a nafs. And this nafs has the aql, the mind. It can distinguish what is right and what is wrong. But then when the human being dies, what happens? The nafs leaves the body and the ruh also leaves the body. Khalas. And then the body is left. The body deteriorates. The body is materialistic. It is materialistic. And hence, a man, Ubay ibn Khalaf, when he came to the Prophet and he went to a grave, he dug an old bone. He dug it from the grave and he came to the Prophet. And then he deteriorated, you know, an old bone. So he immediately crushed it, turned it into dust, and he blew it in the front of the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Atazumu ya Muhammad an yuhyi rabbaka hadhihi al'idham wa hiya ramim?" Do you claim that your Lord can revive these bones when they're so old like this, when they're dust? The ayah was revealed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa daraba lana mathalan wa nasiya khalqah. Qala man yuhyi al'idham wa hiya ramim? قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. He gave us an example. And he forgot about his creation. Telling you, who will revive these bones? These old dusty bones. Tell him, the one who created them in the first place when they were nothing, can also revive them again when they are nothing. Can also revive them again when they are nothing. So this body, it will deteriorate, but Allah will revive it. Allah will revive this body of ours. The same bones of ours, the same body, the same skin will be revived. It's materialistic, it deteriorates, but Allah will revive it. However, the soul and the nafs, they never deteriorate. They never go away. And hence, you have at the time of death or burial, what happens to a mu'min, there is to be talqeen. First, there is salat al-mayyit. Salat al-mayyit is wajib. Wajib kifa'i means there is one person who has to do it. If one person does it, that's it. Then the rest of the Muslims don't have to do it. One person. It's wajib. Where we have five takbirat, for example. The followers of Ahlul Bayt, Atba' al-Madhab al-Ja'fari, they have five takbirat. The other madahib, they have four takbirat. This is wajib. Then, after doing Salat al-Mayyit, after doing the ghusl, ghusl is also wajib, by the way. Ghusl is wajib as well. Again, one person has to do it, if he's a Muslim. If a Muslim dies, somebody has to do his ghusl with the three waters. We say the three waters, the Ja'faris. Our brothers, they say, water is one water, you know, just the water is wajib. The others are mustahab. Atba' al-Madhab al-Ja'fari say, no, all three are wajib. And then you do Salat al-Mayyit. Then you have to do Talqeen. And when you do Talqeen, it's mustahab to shake this individual. And you say, Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, or Fulan, say, repeat after me. Repeat after me. What do you repeat after me? إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمَلَكَانِ. When the two angels come, descend upon you, asking you, who is your Lord? Say, my Lord is Allah. Who is your Prophet? And so on and so forth. Who are we talking to? This dead body? This body, if you poke it, doesn't feel nothing. Nothing in that body. You throw it, it doesn't feel anything. You're not talking to that body. The ruh is still alive. And hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and don't consider those who have died in the path of Allah as dead. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They're alive, but you don't see them. What's alive? Their body is alive. No, their ruh is alive. And hence we say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our imams are also alive. So when we go this way, Ya Rasulullah, all Muslims agree on this hadith. When you give salam to Rasulullah, Rasulullah responds back. All Muslims. Everybody. When you say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, he responds and says, Wa alaykum as-salam. We don't hear him, but he responds. All Muslims agree on this. So similarly, when I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I say, Ya Rasulullah, help me. Ya Rasulullah, pray for me. One day I had a discussion with one of those Wahhabis in Medina, and I told him, do you believe that the shuhada, the martyrs, are alive? He said, yes. I told him, well, who is of a higher rank, the prophet or the shuhada, the martyrs? He said, the prophet is of a higher rank. I said, if the martyrs are of a higher rank, are alive, and the prophet is of a higher rank than the martyrs, doesn't that mean the prophet is also alive? And hence, he listens to me. He responds to me. But I don't see him. I cannot hear him. And this is because of me, not because of him. So we can turn to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can turn to the imams. When we do tawassul here, Allah says, seek the means to Allah. تغو إليه الوسيلة. Seek the means to Allah. The wasila, the means. What are the means? The hadith says, we are the wasila. Of Ahlul Bayt salam says, we are the wasila. We are the means. And hence this body deteriorates. The ruh is the one that remains. And hence it is this ruh that feels the pain. It is this ruh that feels the pleasures. Even in dunya. Even in dunya. It is the ruh that feels the happiness. It is the ruh that feels the joy. It is the ruh that feels the agony. It is the ruh that feels the pain. Not the body. Somebody might say a word to you, makes you cry. You're not hurt. You look at your body, you're physically okay. Why do you cry? What happened? Or somebody makes something that makes you happy. Nothing has happened to your body physically. Plus, we have a hadith that says, Al-qabru rawdatun min riyad al-jannah aw hufratun min hufar al-niran. Qabr, the grave, is either a part of paradise or a hell of the hellfires. Now the question is, okay, what qabr is this referring to? What if a person goes swimming in the sea and then the sharks attack him and destroy him and tear him apart? So this person doesn't have a grave here. So does it mean that this person is where, I don't know, in some place, in the sharks there, or what happens there? That's why our fuqaha or the ulama, they define the grave. We have two types of graves. We have the grave, which is the grave al-fiqhi, from the jurisprudence point of view. And then we have the grave al-ruhi, from the soul point of view. Grave al-fiqhi is which one? The one that we dig in the cemetery. For example, there is laws. How long it should be, how wide it should be, how deep it should be. These are rules, all fiqh. They're mentioned in the books of laws. This is the physical grave. And it has laws surrounding it. And then there is a grave for the ruh. Yes. Some people have the grave, the physical one, and some don't have it, like this person who dies in the sea, for example. He doesn't have a physical grave. But everybody has the spiritual grave, the ruh. The ruh then will start feeling the pleasures of the akhirah, if it is mu'mina, or, wal'iyadu billah, feeling the adab. The adab. And that is what is known as Alamul Barzakh. At the time, which is the life after this life, between dunya and between akhira, this transition point, this barrier point. Alamul Barzakh. Allah says, وَمِمْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 100. And there is Barzakh after their life until the time they are resurrected. And that is where Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi says, Wallah, he says, I swear by God, we are not worried about you, but from the qabr, the adab of barzakh. That's where we are worried about you guys. Otherwise, in the akhirah, he told his companions, we will do shafa'a for you, we'll be there for you. But the time of barzakh, that is the difficult time. That is the time of qabr.
That is the difficult time for us. That's why when a person goes into that world, he goes into that alam, his ruh feels very depressed. His ruh sees this body that it had associated with for 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. Now all of a sudden it's gone under the sand. It is said the ruh, it comes and starts visiting this body on the first night. The ruh visits the body on the fifth night, the seventh night, the 40th night, after 1 year. That's why, when you do majlis after, for example, 1 week, some people after 1 week, they do a majlis for the mayyit. On the same night of the burial, they do a majlis. After 1 week, they do a majlis. After the 40th day, they do a majlis. And then after 1 year, they do a majlis. Why? Because this ruh is coming to the body. It is said the ruh will come to the body and will look at the body and will start talking to the body. It says, body, at the time when you were on the earth, you did not even bear to have dust on your face. Now look at you, covered in dust. So why didn't you prepare yourself for this moment, for this time? Why didn't you do some good for your akhirah? And that's why it's mustahab on the first night of qabr, when a person is buried, to read Salatul Wahsha, to pray Salatul Wahsha. 2 rak'at Salat, and the first rak'ah after Surah Al-Hamd, you read Ayatul Kursi once. And the second rak'ah after Surah Al-Hamd, you read Surah Al-Qadr, Inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-Qadr, 10 times. And after you finish the Salat, you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, and Ya Allah, gift the thawab of this Salat to the ruh of so and so, this man or this lady, this person. Gift him the thawab, Ya Allah. It is said one of the ulama, he says, I used to pray, whenever I hear there is a mu'min who dies, or a mu'mina, I would pray Salat al-Wahsha for them. And I wouldn't tell anybody, I wouldn't even tell their families. In that city, I would pray the suraqah. He says, and I didn't tell anybody, until one day a man came to me, and he said, did you last night pray Salat al-Mayyit for so and so? He said, how did you know? He said, because I saw him in the dream, in Alam al-Ru'ya. In Alam al-Ru'ya, in the dream, I saw him. And he told me, go tell this Alam, may Allah bless you for praying these 2 rak'ah, because Allah forgave my sins because of these 2 rak'ah of yours. So go tell him. And this is something interesting. When this nafs, I don't have time to touch into this and get into it. That's why I didn't get into it. But the dreams we see when we sleep, because this nafs leaves the body now, it's gone away. And hence we can see these dreams, because it roams around. It's free at that moment. That nafs, not the ruh. The ruh is still in the body. The nafs is gone. And so it roams. And sometimes it can ascend to the Alamul Malakut, where it can meet the Prophet. Sometimes when a mu'min sees a Prophet in his dream, or sees an Imam in his dream, which happens numerous times, numerous occasions, that's when it reaches that high level of spirituality. It can ascend to meet those individuals. And sometimes, wal-iyadu billah, no. It can meet with the shayateen, wal-iyadu billah. The shayateen, the devils, can see. So that is all ranking on the nafs when it leaves that body. Where does it go and where does it roam? Now we don't have time to get into this. But this nafs is very complicated. This ruh is very complicated. All we can understand is that the human being, brothers and sisters, has this ability to control himself so that he ascends and ascends and ascends until he becomes the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy for his happiness and is angry for his anger. And then there is one rank lower than that, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the eye of this individual, the ears of this individual. That is when the nafs, for example, when it ascends higher and higher, has the ability to say to something, kun fayakun, because why? It has merged with the ruh. Or, wal-iyadu billah, the nafs can degrade itself and degrade itself and degrade itself by disobeying Allah and not listening to the aql. And hence, it takes the aql behind it. It starts controlling, overcoming the aql. Overcoming the aql.
The aql would tell the nafs, don't do this, don't steal, it's haram. Don't steal, it's haram. But you say, be quiet. Now help me how to steal, plan. So then the aql starts planning how to steal, right? The person who, the thief, his aql is the one that plans the robbery. Huh? The aql first tells him, no, don't do it. But then he shuts it off. He tells him, no, the desire is under control now, not you. So you follow the desire. And that's when the human being becomes like what? Like the animals. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Like the animals. And we see an example of spirituality and ascension. For the person to really ascend, he has to be ready. Has to be ready. And one great example of this readiness is Imam Hussein salamullahi alayhi on the day of Ashura. Allahu Akbar. He ascended and ascended, and Allah tested him and tested him and tested him. And yet he comes out stronger and stronger and stronger, submitting to Allah even more and more and more. And that will be our topic for tomorrow night, inshaAllah. A person who understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a person who submits to Allah. And that when a person submits to Allah, then no matter what he is thrown at, what Allah throws at him, he still is firm and strong. On the day of Ashura, salamullahi alayh, after having witnessed the martyrdom of all his companions, one after the other, he stood on the plains of Karbala, calling, أما من ناصر ينصرنا أما من معين يعيننا أما من طالب للجنة يطلبنا Imam Hussein alayhi salam is calling for support, is calling for help. After having lost all his companions, they are all bodies without a head. In front of him on the plains of Karbala, he is calling people, come and help us, come and support us. At that moment, he sees a young man coming out of the tent, a man who most resembles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He approaches his father with all dignity and respect and humbleness. He comes and says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba. Oh, peace be upon you, oh my father. Who is this young man? He is Ali al-Akbar. He was the first man to come out from the Prophet's family to support his father. The first man to respond. He came approaching his father saying, Oh father, give me the permission to go and fight before you, defending you. O mu'mineen and mu'minat, may Allah bless your children for you. Those of you who have sons, may Allah bless them for you. If you have a son who's a youth, you know the feeling of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Try to imagine as if this youth of yours coming and approaching you, asking you to go and die right in front of your eyes. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he could not say, yes my son, go. He could not. He raised his hand and he said, Allahumma ashhad ala ula'i al-qawm. Oh Allah, bear witness on those people. فَإِنَّهُمْ دَعَوْنَا لِيَنْصُرُونَ They called us to support us, and then they turned against us and came here to kill us. Oh Allah, right now, a man who most resembles your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, with his looks, with his character, with his akhlaq and manner, sinners is about to come and meet them. Oh Allah, deprive them from your mercy and send your punishment against them, Ya Allah. Ali al-Akbar, when he heard this, he realized this is the permission of his father to him. He rode his horse like a brave warrior, went to the battlefield calling, Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. Nahnu wa baytullahi أضربكم بالسيف حتى يصطلي ضرب غلام هاشمي علوي والله لا يحكم فينا ابن الدعي. He says, I am Ali ibn al-Husayn, son of Ali. I am from the Prophet's family. I will defend my father bravely. And indeed, he started fighting against them. When he fought, he was so brave. People were wondering, is this Ali ibn Abi Talib in the battle here? Who is this young man? They were coming at him from all sides, but they could not get to him. It is said his mother, Layla, was standing at her tent. She could not see her son, but she was looking at the face of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. At one moment, she saw Abi Abdullah grieving. She said, Ya Abu Abdullah, hal qutila waladi? Has my son been killed? He said, No, Layla, but go pray for your son, because an enemy who's so brave is coming to fight him. I heard from my grandfather, Rasulullah, that when a mother prays for her son, then Allah will accept her dua. She went inside her tent, she removed her hijab, and she said, Ya Allah, Ya Radi Yusuf ala Yaqub, urdud alayya waladi Ali. Oh Allah, you brought back Yusuf to Yaqub, bring back my son Ali to me as well. And then she fainted. Ali al-Akbar killed that enemy. He came back to his father. He said, Father, I'm coming back to bid my farewell to you. Imam Hussein said, Before you go back, go to your mother in the tent, for her soul is about to leave her body. He went into his tent. She woke up, she saw that he is carrying her head on his chest. She said, Son, you came back. He said, Mother, don't you want to be proud of me in front of Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam? She said, Yes, my son. He said, Then my mother, you have to give me the permission to go and defend my father, Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. She said, Okay, my son, go and make me proud before Fatima. Look at the akhlaq of this nobleman. Look at the way he respects his parents. He came back to the battlefield. He started fighting bravely until the enemy surrounded him from all sides. Imam al-Husayn rode his horse waiting to hear the cry and the call. He saw his son being surrounded by enemies from all sides. One man came back from his behind and struck him on his head. Then he put his head down on the horse's eyes. The blood covered the horse's eyes. The horse could not see its path. So instead of taking him back to the tents of Abi Abdullah, took him to the tents of the enemies. They started hitting him from all sides with their spears and their arrows until the horse turned back. At that moment, an enemy came with a spear and he hit Ali al-Akbar with the spear in his chest. At that moment, he cried, Aba ya Abu Abdullah. Oh, Father Abu Abdullah, alayka minni salam. here I see my grandmother Fatima. And here I see my grandfather Rasulullah. And he has given me a drink after which I'll never go thirsty again. And here I see my grandfather Amirul Mu'mineen. And here I see my uncle Imam al-Hassan. And they're giving you their salam and saying, we are waiting for you, Ya Abu Abdullah. Imam al-Hussein rushed to his son. The narrator said Imam al-Hussein threw himself from the horse onto the body of Ali al-Akbar. And he cried, Waladi Ali! Oh my son Ali, ala al-dunya ba'daka al-afa. Oh my son, I wish I had not lived to see this moment. Ya ibn Sa'd, qata'ta rahmi, qata' Allah rahimak kama qata'ta rahmi. Oh Umar ibn Sa'd, you have killed my son. May Allah kill your children and kill you as well. Whenever anyone who used to get killed in the battle, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein used to carry him to the tent. But when Ali al-Akbar, his own son, died, he turned to Bani Hashim and he said, Bani Hashim, ta'alu wahmilu aliyya. Come and carry Ali, for I don't have the strength to carry my son. They carried Ali to the tent. That's when his aunt Zainab and his mother Layla came and cried, Aywa walada, Aywa Aliya. Oh my son Ali, I expected to see you grow older and to be there for me and to be there attending my burial. I did not expect to see you covered in blood. But send my salam to your grandmother Fatima and tell her I'll take my reward from her on the day of judgment. Inna lillah
wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. والعاقبة للمتقين. Raise your hands for the dua. By the barakah of Ali al-Akbar, inshallah, may Allah fulfill all our hajat. And this brother, Mir Ali, Ghulam Ali, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant him a quick recovery. And all those mu'mineen who are ill and requested our dua, raise your hands, inshallah. May Allah grant them all quick recoveries and fulfill our hajat. We all have hajat. We all requesting mu'mineen and mu'minat that they pray for us. So raise your hands, mu'mineen and mu'minat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-muzhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu. Amma yujibu al-muzhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 يا الله.
الله بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله. Oh Allah, forgive all our sins, ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us among the Shia of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us the ziyarah of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn in Karbala soon, ya Allah. And grant us his shafa'ah in the hereafter, ya Allah. Oh Allah, all those mu'mineen who have hajat. Oh Allah, fulfill their hajat and our hajat jami'an, ya Allah. Oh Allah, all those mu'mineen who are ill, oh Allah, grant them a quick recovery, ya Allah. Oh Allah, all those mu'mineen who are suffering, oh Allah, remove all their sufferings, ya Allah. All those mu'mineen who are lacking peace and security, bestow and bless them with your peace and security, ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه. اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين. رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.